Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Timber Living Log Cabins. For your perfect workspace, living space or hideaway, timberliving.ie.
I think at this time of year, when we've had a little taste of freedom and our holidays, it can be very hard to get back in your box and go back to work. And a lot of us find ourselves fantasizing about getting out of the rat race. And then some people, though, actually go further and actually start planning that. And Michael Houghton is one of those people. Hi, Michael.
Hi, how are you getting on?
So, Michael, you're part of the FIRE movement. What does FIRE stand for? What does it mean?
Yes, it basically stands for financial independence, retire early. And it's, I guess, a community of people that are looking to get out of that rat race and be able to live life on their own terms.
And what was your epiphany moment in deciding to do this?
I think I just got sick of living week to week and paycheck to paycheck and constantly feeling like we were just trying to fight for the next bill and really started to look to ways to get around that and discovered the FIRE movement that had become quite big in America and I guess tried to bring a lot of that to an Irish context.
Now, you are married with three children, which I imagine does complicate achieving financial self-sufficiency, does it?
It does. Yeah. And I think it's a matter of actually getting the whole family on board, including the children, which has kind of been an interesting thing for us. So it's really a matter of all of us, I guess, making our own sacrifices for the movement and for the journey.
So are the kids on board with this?
I think so. Yeah, they definitely are, and they've embraced it, and they understand the basic concept. And even in their own, we see it in their own when they get pocket money or communion money, that they're saving and investing it where they can, even at a young age. So there's a lot of good values that come from it that we're introducing to our own children.
Okay, so as you're alluding to there, Michael, I guess there are two sides to this, which is on one side of the T account, if you will, you're spending less, and on the other side, then you want to be earning more, I guess. So tell me about the spending less first. Is that hard?
It's one of those things that you get better at. So it's a skill to spend less and to look for value. Conscious spending is largely the term, and we all do it. We all probably have subscriptions in our bank accounts that are going out each month for services that we're not using. Maybe it's the gym or Sky TV or things like this. So it starts by looking at a lot of those things that we're spending money on that we may not feel like we're getting value in. So that's the first thing. But you get better at it as time goes on. When we first started, we may have reduced our expenses by 5%. I would say we're down to probably 25% less than we were spending 5 years ago now.
And you actually think that we could all cut back by about 20% without too much pain? There is low-hanging fruit there, is there?
Definitely. And the other side of the coin is there's an uplift in it as well. So when you spend less, we have more money, there's less financial stress. Financial stress is a huge burden that goes around like a noose around our neck sometimes. And to get rid of that and be free of that, that increases happiness as well. So there's definitely a lot of spending that most people would be doing on a monthly basis where they could easily remove that 20% quite comfortably without feeling like their happiness is decreasing.
So you mentioned the subscriptions and stuff that we maybe don't get the best out of. If people were trying to consciously spend less now, what else would you tell them to look at?
I guess what value they're getting. So, I mean, holidays are always a good one, right? Yeah. There's always this pressure to go overseas and do all of that. And we actually sat down with our own kids and we said, look, do you guys want to go overseas or what do you want to do? And they opted for an Irish holiday. You know, we went down to Kerry for a week that cost us €1,000 versus going overseas, it would have cost us a lot more. So a lot of those things are just coming back to things that you value. And with the FIRE movement, you're ultimately trying to value your own time. Because it's really a time freedom movement, ultimately, and being able to kind of take back your time and do with it as you like. And sometimes just being able to sit down with the kids and playing board games or going to the beach, albeit in the rain in Ireland, it's still fun and it's still creating memories all the same without the cost that goes with it.
Okay, so kids-wise, the kids aren't feeling that they're sacrificing. It can be difficult as well with kids if their friends all have stuff and everything and they want, you know, teenagers particularly want to fit in and everything. Are they feeling the sacrifice, do you think?
They still get the things that they want. So it's just a matter of thinking about it differently. So, for example, you know, one of the kids might want a Nintendo Switch or a PlayStation 5. They still get those things, but they don't necessarily get all the other stuff that comes with it. So it's a matter of trying to get them to prioritise things. It's always quite funny when they go with friends on play dates and things, and they see friends with modern cars, and like we would deliberately drive a car that's 10 years old. So they wouldn't have all the fancy mod cons that the kids are seeing from other friends. But again, we try to explain to them why that is. We don't want to be taking on car loans. We don't want that pressure of the monthly payment. We're trying to keep our costs as low as possible. So we deliberately drive older cars as a result.
Yeah. I presume a car is a big, probably after the house for a lot of people, the car is their big monthly outlay, isn't it? And that kind of, there can be that pressure, I think, for people to feel they have a newish car, isn't there?
Yeah, and see, the problem with a car is it's a depreciating asset. It's not going to go up in value over time. So from our point of view, as we see it, we'd much rather buy a car that we own with cash and have something which doesn't depreciate as quickly, allowing us to buy other assets that actually appreciate in value to ultimately pay for that car in the long run.
Yeah. Okay. So then that brings us to the other side of the equation, which is earning more. What is your job?
I'm in IT. I'm a software developer.
Okay. So before we get to pensions and investments and stuff like that, so does earning more mean that you take up a second job, or does it mean you do a lot of side hustles, or how does that work?
Yeah, to be honest, it's a combination of everything, and I've tried it all. But I think for starters, job switching is hugely underrated, and many people can get caught in a job where they might be there for a number of years. And yeah, Ireland has the lowest, hugely low unemployment. So job switching right now is still quite good. And there's an immediate way to get a huge pay increase by switching jobs, you know. So it's a case of always interviewing and always keeping your eye out for other opportunities that come along. And then, yeah, over the years, I have taken on second jobs here and there, or moonlighting or freelancing as well. So taking on extra work where I can, with it being somewhat sustainable. I have done it in such a way where it was too difficult and I got burnout. So it's a matter of finding as much balance as possible while doing it. But certainly just keeping an eye on things, always being conscious of new opportunities that come along, and really just focusing on income as a thing that can be improved by taking new opportunities.
Yeah, I'd say most people don't think, like people think in a vague way about leaving their job in moments of annoyance or whatever, but most people probably aren't consciously thinking all the time, is there something better out there for me?
Exactly. And again, I mean, this I started back in 2018. So my first goal was just to increase our income by 10%. But over time, if you do that every year, then after a number of years, you're going to have doubled your income. So it's a matter of letting time do its thing and just working on small improvements each and every year.
Yeah, yeah. You know, Warren Buffett says that compound interest is the greatest financial miracle there is. I suppose, Michael, in a sense, though, it could sound like, you know, doing extra work and everything and cutting back and stuff now, that you are in a way mortgaging the here and now for some future that may never come. That is life a bit harder and grimmer now, like for some kind of fantasy future?
Yes and no. And there's certainly balance there. And there's lots of different alternatives in the FIRE movement. So there's a concept known as slow FIRE, where you look to live your best life now, but be conscious of the fact that you do need to put some money away for a retirement that may come one day down the line. Alternatively, there's another concept known as Coast FIRE, where you might be 30 years of age and you might only need to save, say, 100,000 euros, and then you're going to let that grow over time to know that you're going to have a great retirement one day, and now you can live your best life in the meantime. So there's lots of different approaches. I think FIRE is about being more conscious of our money and our time, our limited time that we have, and trying to make best for that. So in my case, yes, I've made some sacrifices over the last couple of years, as have my family. But at the same time, it set us up so nicely. Our journey's about a 10-year journey, and we're into year six now. We've got about 3.5 years left. I'm currently 39 years of age, so potentially I could be retiring as early as 43. So that's been a 10-year journey, but that's going to give me, yeah, hopefully 50 years of retirement potentially. So whilst there has been
no,
a
some people are going to say, "Oh my God, 50 years of retirement sounds like hell."
Well, and this is really the crutch of the movement. It's not about traditional retirement. And yes, I am a golfer, so I am going to enjoy more golf. That's going to be great. But at the same time, it's about being able to do what you ultimately want to do. And for a lot of people, that might be starting a business, becoming an author, starting a podcast like I did myself as a part-time hobby. So there's various things that we can be doing just that we actually want to enjoy. And as I see it now, even in my own life and even saving as we are, I still enjoy every day. I still love getting up on a Monday morning going to work because I'm doing it on my own terms.
Yeah.
And when you're doing it knowing that you're saving for your financial future, it's a lot more rewarding than what I was doing 5 years ago, where I was just literally going through the grind just to pay the bills each week.
Gotcha. It's a mindset, yeah. And then presumably investment and saving, putting money into a pension fund and all that is a big part of this as well, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So we do have a nice pension that we've been putting into and then we also invest in real estate as well and stocks and shares outside of the pension. So we've tried to dabble at a lot of those things.
Okay. Well, listen, we'll check back in with you in 3 years. So you'll be retiring at what, 42?
43, hopefully. 43. All going well, 43, yes.
Okay. Look forward to see how it pans out. Michael Houghton, thank you very much. And your podcast you mentioned there, it's called Irish Fire, yes?
Yep, Irish Fire Podcast,
okay,
that's
and
correct.
People can find that wherever they get their podcasts. Okay, Michael Houghton, thank you very much. We'll take a break.
Text 51551. Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.